Hidden Treasure. And the text is Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. The first thing Jesus announced when he started his ministry was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." We find that in Matthew 4:17. The kingdom of heaven is near. And after choosing his 12 disciples, he sent them out two by two with the same message. Matthew 10:6, it says, Jesus said, "Go to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near." And as proof of the nearness of this kingdom, the disciples were enabled to do miracles. Jesus told them, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." That was indeed proof of the power of the coming kingdom. But it was more than that. It was a declaration about the nature of this kingdom. It would be a kingdom marked by love and kindness, of healing and deliverance from the powers of darkness. And later we see in Luke chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus sent 72 followers out, two by two, with the same message. He told them, "Heal the sick who are out there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you." And when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, even as we pray every Sunday, it's, "May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That kingdom is not fully manifested on earth yet, but it is here. It's not an earthly political kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom of the heart, a kingdom where God reigns in the heart, a kingdom where heaven comes into the heart. What then is the nature of this kingdom? What is this kingdom like? Well, Jesus gave some clues in some parables he taught about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Matthew 13:26. He said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground day and night, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." The kingdom, then, is something that has small beginnings and quiet growth, almost imperceptible, until one day you see the fruit of it and say, "Wow, look at that. There's a crop out there. Where did that come from?" From little seeds planted and nurtured by God himself. Then there's this one, verse 30. Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all your seeds. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." Again, the kingdom has small beginnings, the smallest beginnings, the least likely to amount to anything, yet it does. It's a kingdom that advances and grows and prospers in spite of everything that is against it. Imagine what poor prospects there were for this little following called Christianity. A tiny little following, birthed in an obscure place that had been conquered by the Roman Empire. A little following that should have been snuffed out with the death of its leader. But even as Jesus himself rose from the dead, so did his kingdom. And instead of becoming a minor footnote in the history of humanity, which surely it would have been, were it only the work of men, Instead, it grew until it filled the whole earth and changed the very course of nations, even continents. And according to the Pew Research Institute, there are today an estimated 2.18 billion Christians living in the world today. But why? How is that possible? The answer is hidden treasure. The answer is the nature of the kingdom. So we come to our primary text, where we catch a glimpse of the answer to these questions, Matthew 10:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. In both these parables, the value of the kingdom so superseded anything else that those who stumbled upon it were not only willing, but happy, thrilled even, to take everything they had, everything they treasured, and trade it all to possess that kingdom, that treasure. It is that valuable. But what is it that makes this kingdom so valuable? That's a reasonable question. What makes this kingdom so precious, so glorious, so lovely? Well, this kingdom is everlasting, but that's not what makes it glorious. You could have an everlasting, inglorious kingdom. This kingdom is all-powerful, but that's not what makes it glorious. This kingdom is unconquerable, but that's not it. It's a peaceful kingdom, a just kingdom, a beautiful kingdom, a righteous kingdom. But none of those things are what makes it so glorious, so lovely. None of those things. It is the King himself that gives this kingdom glory. The beauty of Jesus himself is what gives the kingdom beauty. The loveliness of Jesus himself that gives the kingdom loveliness. The righteousness of Jesus that gives the kingdom righteousness. The joy of Jesus that gives the kingdom joy. For it is a kingdom reflecting the glory, reflecting the love of the King. We can't talk about the kingdom without talking about the kingdom's King. As John wrote in the first chapter of his gospel, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. No matter what earthly kings and kingdoms come and go, there's a king in heaven that transcends them all, and he will protect us from all the rest of them. Even as we pray every week, his kingdom will one day come to earth, even as it is in heaven. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there be any loveliness in the subjects of the kingdom, the followers of the King, the disciples of the King, if there be any loveliness in us, it's because our King's loveliness is contagious. His loveliness springs from his love, and that love is contagious. So if there be loveliness in the people of Jesus, it's because, to a degree, we reflect his beauty. All the best things in the universe come together in Jesus. He is the treasure, the precious treasure, the hidden treasure. And here's some fine poetry to celebrate that fact, which some lovely hymns have been based on. Jesus, priceless treasure, source of purest pleasure, friend most sure and true. Long my heart was burning, fainting much and yearning, thirsting, Lord, for you. Yours I am, O spotless Lamb. So will I let nothing hide you, seek no joy beside you. Let your arms enfold me. Those who try to wound me cannot reach me here. Though the earth be shaking, every heart be quaking, Jesus calms my fear. Fires may flash and thunder crash, yea, though sin and hell assail me, Jesus will not fail me. Away, all worldly treasure, Jesus is my pleasure, Jesus is my choice. Away, all empty glory, what to me your story, told with tempting voice? Pain or loss, shame or cross, shall not from my Savior move me, since he chose to love me. Banish thoughts of sadness, for the Lord of gladness, Jesus, enters in. Though the clouds may gather, those who love the Savior still have peace within. Though I bear much sorrow here, still in you lies purest pleasure, Jesus, priceless treasure. And here's one more that I'll sing instead of speaking. How lovely shines the morning star, the nations see and hail afar. The light in Judah shining, thou David's son of Jacob's race, my bridegroom and my king of grace. For thee my heart is pining, lowly, holy, great and glorious, thou victorious Prince of graces, filling all the heavenly places. Now richly to my waiting heart, O thou my God, deign to impart the grace of love undying. In thy blessed body let me be, e'en as the branches in the tree, thy life my life supplying, sighing, crying for the savor of thy favor resting never, till I rest in thee forever. Thou mighty Father, in thy Son didst love me ere thou hadst begun. This ancient world's foundation thy Son hath made a friend of me. And when in spirit him I see, I joy in tribulation. What bliss is this, he that lives